I'm supposed to give a quick presentation of why there is a claustrophobia, and Stefan will go through a more substantial discussion on what you try to produce in the 6 months we had. And I'll try to be brief, as we don't have much time. Why do you have to create this five? When our PhD program started, we had 3 more PhD students interested in studying security knowledge, along with a student at our technology university in Sydney, and a student here in the EU from the Department of Sociology who also asked us to join. And they would leave us with 11 members for the situated knowledge cluster, and it would simply not work the Skype model of chat, and we had to divide. As a work strategy, there was also brought us some differences, because we are, most of us, the three of us working here together in the OU, so we had face-to-face meetings along with Skype discussions, and that made some difference for our end product that we got to produce. We try to follow the same order of articles that we're working for Cluster 4A as a way to make the interaction here in the training school easier. But we felt the need also to change a little bit the order, so we read Marcus on multi-sided ethnography that brought us to a discussion on scale and how to do ethnographic analysis of global problematizations for our interest here. And then instead of starting by how to bring that for a framework through reading Motonsky and Thévenot, we tried to first think what was the politicality in that, and we went to Harris and politicality and the political responsibility of the ethnographical researcher, and we end up reading Boltonsky and Thévenot. I think it's the same reading list. But as we worked out for only 6 months, that made some difference, as I said, for what we brought here, mostly because we had weekly meetings instead of more explicit posting process. And then that gave us some more linear evolution for discussion, in a sense. And it culminated in our decision to, instead of developing our reflection on situated knowledge separately or individual basis, each one thinking about its own reflection on those articles, as we had the opportunity to work more closely, we decided to take profit of that and try to develop a small research project or think about how we could possibly implement the insights we got from those readings into a topic and how we could possibly research it in a situated manner. And that's what Stefan's going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we agreed on the ban of the burqa in Belgium as a research topic. And I don't know if you know about it, but last year Belgium was the first country in Europe to ban the wearing of the burqa in public, and it was even sanctioned with up to 30 days of prison. And of course we know Belgium has a very fragmented political landscape. I think they don't even have a government at the moment. But on that issue, they all agreed. All parties agreed. So it was kind of interesting. And so now, why did we decide that situated knowledge is the most appropriate method to research this? We came up with two reasons, or two reasons were discussed. The first reason was that a variety of discourses intersected in the debates surrounding the burqa ban. And each of these discourses entailed a particular logic of security and specific reference objects of security as well, to be protected or secured. for example, there's a feminist discourse that tries to secure the legal, social, political equality of Muslim women. Then there's a racist discourse at work that thrives to protect the hegemony and alleged superiority of Western culture. There's a human rights discourse that tries to secure the freedom of religious expression. And there's also a religious security discourse that maintains that the burqa ban would be a necessary security measure to protect the inner security of Belgian society. The second reason for drawing on situated knowledges was that it became clear very quickly that the voice and the opinions of the people concerned, burqa-bearing women, they were missing from the debate. And so I think that really made us think about situated in a situated way about it. So we agreed on these two points mostly, but then we had lots of disagreement how to make this work in practice. The first disagreement concerned the necessity to position ourselves. As you all know, Haraway has a very specific notion of objectivity, and according to her, objectivity arises from positioning oneself in order to assume a partial perspective which can be held accountable for the knowledge produced. So for that reason, the discussion it moved quickly to the need to position ourselves. But how to do this? This became a matter of debate, and the first proposition was to, that positioning ourselves was the first research question would have to answer. The second position was it was more like a constant process throughout the whole course of the research. And the third position was positioning and reflexivity, making the research an attempt of positive interference in itself. This led to the second disagreement, which related to possible research strategies. One proposal was to draw on the method of tracing and tracking, which can be found in the text by Marcus, Multi-Sided Ethnography. And the idea was to explore the varying meanings that the different stakeholders in the debates ascribe to the burqa, and which discourses and rationales they deploy to do so. And in a second step, we should then address the question how these different discourses and meanings correlate to specific subjects' positions in regards to class, race, and gender. However, it was problematized that the strategy was not really leading beyond mere discourse analysis, and it would rather result in a kind of mapping different subject positions and discourses. So the second... The second position would be like to draw on micro and macro, to draw on micro dynamics of social negotiation of the burqa. And the third position was like that both of these strategies buy in too much from the dominant discourses we are influenced by. And we should rather ask, how can we turn the question around? How can we look at wearing burqas from angles that are less discussed, for example, as an act of resistance or an act of citizenship? So, more disagreements. And to conclude, maybe this led us to think about more general about collaborative working. And one problem is always the question of time, that you are pressed to produce something, for example, for today. This in this context, it's hard to deal with all these difficulties, tensions, opinions, different opinions, not to gloss over them. So I think this is a crucial issue, how to deal with that. But at the same time, I think all these tensions and disagreements, they are really productive because they kind of challenge my own view and take on the topic. And I think especially for situated knowledge, this is really crucial to work collaboratively, to kind of challenge the own view, the own regime of vision. So leave it with that.
Great.
Thanks,
sir. Hurry up. Final
question. For A. Yes, thank you. For A or for B, that does not really matter. I'm using here PowerPoint for several reasons. First of all, it allows me to move a little bit quicker. Secondly, it adds a little bit of color to our debate, which is in this case largely red. And thirdly, it allows Juha afterwards to actually analyze us and our forms of representation. So if we're thinking symmetrical, which is a core idea of science studies, well, then we also always should analyze ourselves. So what I'm presenting here is the work of now named cluster A or B. It's titled A Collective Journey because it was a collective journey that we had over here. And what I'm going to present here is nothing like a detailed outline in the form of an action plan or something like that. I like to focus specifically on the problems that we tried to outline. And, of course, a group of people has various problems or sees challenges. It's also important to mention that I think no one in the group thinks that situated knowledge is something like a method or something like that. So it's rather an approach to open up problems and challenges. Okay, here comes our core puzzle, always the most important thing to start with. Okay, no, it's not working. Excellent. Here they come again. Okay, perfect. We are basically approaching two issues. On the one side, we have the world that we study in our academic practices, and on the other side, we have us, ourselves. And the point about situated knowledge is now to claim that both of these things cannot clearly be separated, but are aspects which are situated. And by saying that they are situated, we can see that they are highly complex. Various factors playing into that, and here is just kind of like random keywords actually thrown into debate. If we are thinking about us, the researchers, as something situated, and the world we studied as something situated, that you can actually attach to these things. Well, what is all of that? It's something like a double mess, right? And in order to sort out this double mess, we have the question, how do we actually relate the one thing to the other, the one mess to the other? Well, of course, we have very good answers, and these answers can be broadly structured according to four problems. And of course, our answers are not real real or proper answers, but rather more questions. So what we came up with in the end is four problematic dimensions that can structure the question of how to cope with this double mess, or how to relate the one mess to the other. The first of those is the question, fairly similar to the other situated knowledge cluster, so it's somehow in the terms, the question of reflexivity or of self-reflexivity. And self-reflexivity in that sense, or in its broadest sense, can be understood as something like a self-awareness towards the own position in the world and in the academic system. The question then is, how do we practice such reflexivity? Where does it come towards the beginning of research, towards the end of research, and how does it look in practice? The second point is something that can be called extraction. And here we deal with the question of how do we actually extract the complexity of the world into our own writings, thinkings, and so on. And the background here is the notion that methodology always makes certain things absent, and it makes certain things present. And if that is the case, then well, we face very, very difficult decisions here. And the first of which is, how do we actually decide what we make present and absent by our methodologies? The second one is, how do we actually ensure that we have something like a fit, that what we make present in our work is actually the stuff we are interested in? How do we guarantee that we're not losing what we actually have been interested in from the start. And then finally, not everyone in the group would agree on that. The point: how do we extract from reality actually something that is beautiful, that is mundane, that is relevant, and maybe not only critical, but also embraces something like hope for a better future? The third issue was originally called usurpation, but no one really liked this term, and so now it's simply called the problem of representation. And the point here is the general idea of spokespersonship. To represent is to claim spokespersonship for what you present or what you represent. Again, you make something absent by representing it, and you replace yourself in as a spokesperson. But then the question is, how do we actually represent the stuff we are researching without completely silencing them or hiding them or making them completely absent? And I mean, there are broadly two schools. Bourdieu would more or less claim, well, this is an issue of reflexivity. The more we have the good methodology, this does not really constitute a problem whether we silence them or not. Latour on the other side would say, no, it's kind of like the voices of the of our objects are the most important thing which we have to bring to the fore. So that's the problem of usurpation or representation. And moving to our final problem, which is I think at the heart of all that. It might be simply because I'm a practice theorist and I like to approach these things from a very, very, very practical angle. And that's the problem of intelligibility. How do we actually guarantee that the stuff we're here discussing and so on is somehow relevant for the disciplinary or scientific projects we are embedded in? And how do we make it actually relevant? Not everything is possible in science. You cannot, try to submit a picture that you took somewhere in Nairobi to international organizations and try to get it in a peer review process. Well, everyone would say, no, a picture is not an article. This is not in international relations. We're not doing pictures. We do scientific articles. And that's similarly the case with thesis committees, editors, but it's also the case with readers, because if no one reads the stuff we would be producing, it would be pointless to produce it. And then the question is, how do we bring actually all of our ideas on methodology and so on in line with these standards and transform these standards which we are obliged to? And in summary, this breaks down to the question, how do we actually write and what kind of representations are we doing? And it relates to all of these, to all of the clusters as well in the end. If you write about a picture, shouldn't you do new pictures instead, or is it the appropriate method to write about it? And then the question is also, how can we actually get there to experiment with various forms of writing, with various forms of representation, and actually feed it into the discipline? So that's a problem of intelligibility. Let's bring that up again. What's that? A final note on what we have been doing. It's fairly similar to the other people. We have set up a text in the library. We have used more or less the wiki stuff thing. It's an incredible amount of emails in the meantime. Also, sometimes with quotes, with a lot of contents also, which we need to think about how to collect. A lot of joint readings, usually something like three texts per month. And then we also did these monthly Skype sessions, but in this case with six people. And it's, you directly face the question of absences, silences, and presences. Then we started to work on some empirical material. More on that later. And the question arises: does it work? from my perspective, it works much better than I originally expected. But it's extremely difficult to work actually with multiple voices without losing the multiplicity of the voices. That as a very quick summary, and thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.